Breakthrough.
You are now listening to Breakthrough News. It's 5 p.m. You're listening to Breakthrough News, and this is The Punch Out. We're following the news all day so you don't have to, giving you everything you need to know about what's in the headlines and what should be. And yes, we are back here on The Punch Out, 18th of April, 2022. Very happy to be back with you here on the show. We've got plenty for you here on the show today. We're going to be talking about how hundreds of millions of people are being pushed into poverty around the world this year. We'll be talking about apartheid forces in Israel conducting very aggressive moves at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. But before we get to either of those two very important stories, we want to start with how rich people in the United States are not paying many taxes at all. Today is tax day in the United States. And many of you listening have undoubtedly been scrambling to meet the deadline to get your taxes filed. For the average person, this time of year is hectic and stressful as we hand over a large chunk of our income to the government for a very unclear set of benefits that never seem to fully work in the way we need them to. It tends to be annoying, frustrating, and angering, even more so because we all have this lingering feeling that we are paying more than our fair share. Well, that feeling is right. You are indeed more likely than not paying more than your fair share, and that's because the people with the most money and resources are not, in fact, paying their fair share. As a new study of the top 400 income earners in America by ProPublica relates, a single worker making $45,000 is paying on average 21% of their income towards taxes when you include payroll and income taxes. The top 25 income tax filers by wealth are paying an average of 16%. Of their income towards taxes, including payroll and income taxes. A married couple with one child earning $200,000 is paying on average 26% of their income towards taxes. So, you got it. If you're one of the 25 wealthiest people in the United States, you're likely paying on average a 5 to 10 percentage point lower amount of your income to taxes than the average working class person. And of course, the percentages really matter here. For instance, 21% of $45,000 means that a single worker is left with a real income of just over $35,000. Pretty big difference in terms of actual money in your pocket. 26% of $200,000 leaves that family of three at a real income of $148,000. It's not nothing, of course, but it's $52,000 less than their actual income on paper. 16% of $1 billion, though, is $16 million. Leaving that billionaire with a real income of $984 million. Clearly for that single worker, that family of three, there are going to be real serious material trade-offs in what they can buy and own. For the billionaire, it's going to mean nothing at all to their lifestyle. So again, your hunch is right. The fact that you might have to delay a repair on your car, not take a vacation, ration a medication, or get less of your favorite foods to eat all because you paid $9,000 as opposed to $8,000 in taxes is absolutely not fair when billionaires could take double the number of private jet trips and not mourn a dime lost to the tax man. The averages are actually better than some of the particulars when you look at how the rich are using all possible loopholes in order to reduce their tax liability. The ProPublica study is based on information obtained from tax years 2013 to 2018 on the 400 highest income taxpayers in the U.S. Looking strictly at income taxes, they note that Michael Bloomberg, the second highest income earner in the U.S. over that period, with just over $2 billion of average yearly income, paid on average an effective tax rate of 4.1%. Yep, 4% compared to the 21 to 26% of your income you're shelling out to the IRS. So how are the rich getting away with all this? Well, a few main ways. One, of course, is charitable donations. The law allows one to transfer the full value of stock to a vehicle for charitable purposes without any sort of tax, and then you can write off that value. Also, the tax code taxes dividends and capital gains, that's selling assets like stocks, basically, at a lower level than other types of income. So for instance, if you have billions of dollars in assets, you could do something like transfer a huge sum of those assets to a charity, then sell another nice chunk of leftover assets to get cash to live on, and then use the value of the charitable donation to cover the cost of the capital gains taxes on the tens of millions of stock you sold to do rich people things. So how you get your money determines a lot. As the ProPublica reporting notes, the ultra-wealthy in Silicon Valley seem to be getting off the hook to the greatest extent with an average 17% effective tax rate. That's primarily because they are mainly paying capital gains taxes, taxes on dividends, and using charitable donations to offset those. Their analysis, that's ProPublica's, also noted that most heirs, those with generational wealth, are pretty much in the same boat with a 19% effective tax rate for more or less the same reasons. ProPublica also notes that owners of manufacturing companies seem to be doing the quote-unquote worst of the rich, with an average effective tax rate of 30% because they get more of their money in salaries and other types of income taxed at higher rates. However, it's worth noting, the top marginal tax rate is 37%. So even the quote-unquote worst of the rich in terms of who pays the most taxes are still about 7% below what the law says these ultra-rich people should be paying. End of the day, on this tax day and every tax day, the burden for keeping our public services on life support is coming from average everyday working people. And the reason the country seems to be crumbling around us is because those who can afford the burden to improve things are refusing to do so. Early this morning, the armed forces of Israeli apartheid raided the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem for the third time in just about a week, clearing the mosque of Muslims in order for Israeli settlers to enter the grounds and at least potentially conduct prayers there. A report from the Palestinian news agency Wafa noted that the Israeli forces fired rubber-coated metal bullets and obstructed the work of medics and journalists inside the courtyards and assaulted women right in the vicinity of the Dome of the Rock. Similar tactics led to hundreds of arrests last week at the holy site and nearly 200 injured in the brutal raids. Videos of those events went viral around the world as Israeli claims of being provoked and having not entered the mosque itself were debunked and the brutality of the Israeli occupation forces revealed yet again to the world. And these events have also set the world on edge as last year, Israeli settlers and their government defenders used attacks on the mosque as a provocation against the Palestinian people, creating the basis for a brutal Israeli assault on the Gaza Strip and increased brutality inside of 48 borders and in the West Bank. Many fear that apartheid warmongers are again trying to push Palestinians to defend themselves to help create a pretext for escalating their brutal suffocation of the Gaza Strip and ethnic cleansing in the West Bank. No mistake can be made about it either. These are indeed provocations. The Al-Aqsa Mosque is the third holiest site in Islam. It sits in an area holy to both Judaism and Christianity. According to the various international agreements in place since Israel seized East Jerusalem in the 1967 war, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is exclusively for Muslim prayers, while Jews have a protected area to pray at the Western Wall. The Al-Aqsa site, however, is open to the public. It's a site of great historical significance, of course, and allegedly it's supposed to be managed and controlled by Jordan. Prior to 2000, there was a registration system to manage visits by all to this site of great historical significance, as well as facilitate religious observance. However, in the year 2000, then-Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon stormed the Al-Aqsa compound with armed forces, clearly breaking all the various agreements to assert Israeli control, kicking off the Second Intifada. In the wake of the Second Intifada, the rules that govern the site, the so-called status quo, have broken down. And now, settlers plan provocative visits almost every day of the week to Al-Aqsa Mosque. Sometimes they pray, the most provocative act of all. Sometimes they don't, but either way, these incursions are clearly designed with religious and political intent, not as real tourist trips. They tend to avoid Friday and Saturday when the most worshippers and visitors tend to be there, so deciding to send delegations all weekend and during Ramadan is clearly designed to provoke. Further, it seems clear that the group sent last week explicitly prayed, also clearly designed to provoke and inflame tensions. And the fact that the Jewish holiday of Passover was coinciding this weekend with Easter as well as Ramadan is clearly designed by the apartheid settler forces to assert their supremacy over all others with claims to the site. It's worth noting that these provocateurs are protected by apartheid forces who collaborate with them to violate all international law and the rights of Palestinian people almost every day and essentially at will. And if any Palestinian says anything about it, well, here comes the clubbing, the beating, the gassing, and the arrests. So while the forces committing the provocations often come from right-wing settler groups, they are 100% supported and protected by the apartheid government, whatever occasional pleas these forces may make against praying and visiting at the site. Either way, this is a crucial issue to watch. Just like last year, the moves seem designed to provoke a wider conflict, something which would be just as disastrous as always, with hundreds, if not thousands, of dead and wounded Palestinians, many of them children, and a further entrenched apartheid reality. In an alarming new report, global charity Oxfam has projected more than 250 million people could be pushed into poverty around the world this year. The number is 263 million to be exact, and the main cause is the war in Ukraine. The war is pushing up the cost of food and other critical goods, disrupting harvest and impeding vital commodity exports. Oxfam also noted that by the end of the year, as many as 860 million people could be living in extreme poverty, that is, living on less than $2 a day. The Oxfam report noted that there were both class and geographic differentials at play in terms of the impact on food prices. As The Guardian summarizes, quote, Oxfam said rising food costs account for 17% of consumer spending in wealthy countries, but as much as 40% in sub-Saharan Africa. The impact will also be felt in wealthier economies, including the U.S., where the poorest fifth of families spend 27% of their income on food, compared with just 7% for the richest fifth, end quote. And on that note, the UN also noted last week that global food prices have reached an all-time high. Even worse, as Oxfam notes, poor countries have $43 billion in debt payments due this year, primarily to rich nations and the vultures on Wall Street and in the City of London. Ultimately, these countries will be forced to cut spending on critical public services at a time of great need. And of course, these debt payments will also mean that they have reduced amounts of money to spend on food imports, further making the crisis even worse. Oxfam also notes, however, that an annual wealth tax on millionaires and billionaires could raise more than $2.5 trillion a year. That money would be enough to lift 2.3 billion people out of poverty, make enough vaccines for the entire world, and deliver universal health care and social protection for everyone living in low and lower middle income countries. Sadly, this is not on the horizon of global policymakers in any real sense. The title of the Oxfam report is First Crisis, Then Catastrophe. That seems like as apt a summary as any for where our world is in the current moment.
That's the punch out for today. We're with you Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. here in New York, East Coast Standard Time, 2 p.m. in Los Angeles, Pacific Standard Time, and 9 p.m. GMT. And of course, you can support everything we do here at Breakthrough News at patreon.com/breakthroughnews. It's your patronage that keeps all of our offerings here at Breakthrough News moving forward. And of course, you can check us out across all your social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at BT Newsroom.